outline. Here is an inspirational thought that can benefit one and all. Whatever one feels, that one thinks. Whatever one thinks, that one speaks. Whatever one speaks, that one does. Whatever one does, that one reaps. This is how Brihadaranyaka Upanishad sums it up. The effect of our present way of life has upon our future. So the deepest longings of human individual are supposed to determine his or her future. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, Sa etha kamo bhavati tat kratur bhavati. Yat kratur bhavati tat karma kurute. Yat karma kurute tad abhi sampadhyate. Whatever is your deepest desire will decide the nature of your determination of the way to act. The deepest longing of the soul, the desire of the mind, or the urges one's personal nature will influence the will. As the desire is, so the will is. As the will is, so the action. And as is the action, so is the consequence or the result. Everything seems to be in our hands. Our weal and our woe, our future, our destiny is actually operated upon by the deepest mechanism that is inside us. Are you listening? It's inside us. The switchboard to this whole cosmos is inside us. So guys, everything depends on sa etha kamo bhavati. Whatever we are desiring. So make sure you have all good desires. And then the future also will be good. So whatever bad desires or whatever weak desires we have, we need to work towards it and replace them with good desires, like listening to voice of Sanatan Hinduism.
And there is a verse comes to my mind. It also says, Ya pinde sap,
Ya brahmande sapindesu. Jo brahman mein hai, wo hamare andar bhi hai. Wahi hai. Same thing, everything.
Wonderful. Stay tuned. Go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Voice of Sanatan Hinduism on 11:10 a.m. And we'll be here with you till 2 p.m. today. And we'll be back after this wonderful, wonderful song with our lively Bhagavad Gita segment and also Q time with Sri Rahula. And let's hear from Sri Rahula what we have today on the program.
Namaste, all listeners. This is Sri the Fortune Rahula. You're listening to New Voice of Sanatan Hinduism. It's all about Hinduism, basics of Hinduism, and celebrating the beauty of Hinduism. Whoever you are, Indian, Indo-American, or just a citizen of the world, we will connect with you. In the first 60 minutes of the show, your host Geeta, the Divine Song, will connect with young Hindu listeners and take you on a young quest of Hinduism. In young quest, you'll experience lively Bhagavad Gita coming up shortly. Dhrutara quiz time around 12:25, where you can call and tell and win an e-gift card. Sponsored by Ashirvad Eye Lifestyle Class. Hinduism Basics or Hinduism in US at 12:40. Prayer online at 12:55. Call or email hinduismradio@gmail.com and let us know how we can pray for you. If you want, we can keep your name anonymous and enjoy lots and lots of mellifluous songs all along the show in the next 60 minutes. That's 1 to 2 p.m. Your host Tara the Star Narsimhan will engage and energize all Hindus in deep treasures of Sanatan Dharma. Get updated on what's going on at Sri Meenakshi Temple, Houston, happenings by Hindus of Greater Houston at 1:20 p.m. Get intrigued and interact with us in Inquest of Hinduism around 1:35 p.m. Today's topic is 67th Republic Day of Bharat or India. And all along, keep listening and enjoy lots and lots of melodious music. New energy, new experience on Hinduism. Stay with us all the way till 2 p.m.
Gananayakaya Ganadevataya Ganadhyaksha धीमहि गुणशरीराय गुणमण्डिताय गुणेशानाय धीमहि गुणातीताय गुणाधीशाय गुणप्रविष्टाय धीमहि एकदन्ताय वक्रतुण्डाय गौरीतनयाय धीमहि गजेशानाय भालचन्द्राय श्रीगणेशाय धीमहि
Welcome back to Voice of Sanatan Hinduism, authentic radio show on Sanatan Dharma. I'm your host, Geeta, the Divine Song, with Shriji and Taraji in studio, and Kanti Bhai and Rakesh Bhai, and we'll be here with you till 2 p.m. Coming up next, Lively Bhagavad Gita segment, followed by Q Time with Shri the Fortune Ravula. And if you like our program or have any comments, let us know. You can email hinduismradio@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Thanks to all of you who stopped and took a moment to comment and appreciate. And now flowing to Bhagavad Gita segment. I'm just as eager as Saraswati Ma was to share this divine song with you. You know, River Saraswati was eager to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is a huge scripture which describes all about Krishna Leelas, all the beautiful Leelas. It is said that River Saraswati Ji, Mata, rushed to Himalayas where Veda Vyas Ji was about to narrate Srimad Bhagavatam. Well, then she was asked to hush, because she was making a lot of noise as she rushed. So she, you can still see, I was in Badrinath, and you can still see Mata Saraswati Ji flowing in Badrinath underneath the caves of Vedavyas. So again, moving on to Bhagavad Gita segment, for those who are tuning in for the first time, you're listening to Voice of Sanatan Hinduism, and I'm your host, Geeta. We are about to chant and look into the meanings of Bhagavad Gita. What is Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita literally means divine song. It's a dialogue that happened between Sri Krishna and Arjun about 6,000 years back. Sri Krishna reveals essence of Vedic knowledge that benefits us. Whoever we are, whatever lifestyle we have, irrespective of caste, religion, race, this song in its entirety has vast and deep-rooted knowledge. It removes our ignorance by instilling us with knowledge. Just by knowing a meaning of one shloka from Bhagavad Gita will benefit us. All we have to do is apply it in our real life. Today, we will look upon an important aspect from chapter 2 and also look at the meanings of what Krishna has to say to Arjun. Bhagavad Gita has 18 chapters, but before we start the shlokas, I would like to invoke our acharyas and gurus and Bhagwan Sri Krishna and offer respects to them. Shuklam Bharadharam Vishnum Sasivarnam Chaturbhujam Prasannavadanam Dhyayet Sarva Vignopasantaye Yasyadvirada Vaktradhyah Parishadhyah Parasatam Vignam Nignanti Satatam Vishwaksenam Tamashreye Vyasam Vasishtan Aptaram Sekte Pautramakalmasham Parasaratma Jambande Sukatatam Taponidhim Samyanyaya Kalapena Mahatabharatena Cha Upabrumhita Vedaya Namo Vyasaya Vishnave. And also offer respects to Krishna. Krishnam Kamala Patraksham Punyasravana Kirtanam Vasudevam Jagadyonim Naomi Narayanam Harim Krishnaya Yada Vendraya Jnana Mudraya Yogine Nathaya Rukmini Saya Namo Vedanta Vedine Om Asmat Gurubhyo Namaha. Bhagavad Gita has 18 chapters, and first chapter is called Arjuna Vishada Yoga, where Arjuna expresses his grief to Krishna and wants to abandon his duty as a warrior. A warrior's duty when at war is to protect their own nation, but Arjuna is overwhelmed by his emotions. So I picked up some slokas from chapter 2 where Krishna is counseling Arjun. In this counseling from chapter 2 to chapter 18, so many hidden messages, treasures Lord Krishna gave not just to Arjun but each individual, and reminds each individual is obligated by his duty towards the planet also, not just their own immediate family members. And more treasures to uplift each individual by jnana, that is knowledge, by service, by karma, by bhakti, devotion and surrender. The shloka I picked, the first shloka is where Arjun is counseling, started counseling. This is the first shloka where he'll be actually speaking to Arjun in terms of knowledge. It says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Asochyan Anvasochastvam Prajnavadam Shabhashase Gatasuna Gatasumscha Nanu Sochanti Panditaha. Lord Krishna is saying to Arjun, you grieve for those who should not be grieved for, yet you speak words of apparent wisdom. The wise grieve neither for the dead nor for the living. Ramanujacharya says in his commentary, Krishna is saying to Arjun, your grief is misplaced. Profound sorrow at the thought of killing the Kauravas. At the same time, you're in a dilemma between righteousness and unrighteousness because you do not know the nature of body nor that of the self. Shankaracharya says the self actually is immortal, that is the life source. Now finding no meaning, no means other than self-knowledge for the deliverance of Arjuna, Lord Krishna rushed to help him and introduced him with self-knowledge. So what is that self-knowledge? For example, like, you know, we are in a dark room, we cannot see anything, right? But when we switch on the lamp, we are able to see things that are around. Similarly, darkness is our ignorance. As long as we have ignorance, we are in suffering. But when this ignorance, that is like darkness, is removed by knowledge of lamp, then we can see new light, new perspective, real perspective that removes all our suffering. So here, Lord Krishna is imparting knowledge about self to Arjun. What is self? Is it body or the soul? Lord said, for those who deserve not to be grieved, you're grieving, and yet you're speaking the words of wisdom. So Bhishma and Dronacharya deserve no grief, he's saying, because they are eternal in their nature. You have grieved and you also speak the words of wisdom, Arjun. Hey Arjun, you're exhibiting inconsistency in yourself. You're foolish as well as wise. The question is, why do Bhishmacharya and Dronacharya doesn't deserve grief? Because they are eternal. How are they eternal? Lord says, Natve vaham jatunasam natvam neme janadipa nachaiva na bhavishyamaha sarve vayamatam param. There was never a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor any of these kings exist. Nor will there be any time in the future when all of us shall cease to be. And Ramanujacharya says, Krishna says to Arjun, I, the eternal Lord of all, was never non-existent, but have always existed. You have always existed, and all of us also will exist in the future. Shankaracharya just says, Lord Krishna is saying to Arjun, so neither shall we ever cease to exist. On the other hand, we shall all certainly continue to exist even after the death of these bodies. As the self, the Atman, he calls self as the Atman, life energy as the Atman, we are eternal in all these three periods of time. What are those three periods of time? Past, present and future. So how is self eternal? And again Krishna explains, Dehi nosmin yata dehe kaumaram yavanam jara tata dehantara praptir dheeras tatra namuhyate. Just as embodied self passes through childhood, youth and old age, so as at death it passes through another body. Ramanujacharya says, even though your body has changed from childhood to youth to old age, you never think that self or you are changing. You are still the same. Similarly, the wise do not grieve. When the self passes into the another body, different from the present one, the eternal jiva, he calls jiva as soul or life source, being conditioned by beginningless karma, becomes endowed with his bodies according to their particular karmas. So to overcome this bondage, embodied bodies should also perform their own duties and rites prescribed by the scriptures. without attachment to results, he's saying. So to be precise, in 11th shloka, Lord Krishna said to Arjun, you speak like a wise man, but yet you sound foolish because you're grieving for people whom you're not supposed to grieve. And 2nd shloka says, why are you not supposed to grieve? Because I'm the Lord of all, I'm eternal, you're eternal. I never cease to exist. I always existed. And I shall exist in the future. So Lord also explained in the 13th shloka, he clarifies, how are we eternal? Just like a life, Atma, Jiva, exists in the body that undergoes change from childhood to youth to old, still the same you exist. As if the body changed, but you're still the same. Just like that, your source, life source, will also get transferred from one body to another body. So the body is perishable, not the Atma. So in these 3 shlokas, beautifully, Lord explained the analytical knowledge of the soul, of the body, and how the body and Atma are different. So let's talk about 14th and 15th shlokas next week. 14th and 15th shlokas tell about what causes pain and suffering, and we should develop tolerance to pain. And also Lord Krishna tells us what are the benefits we are going to get if we endured or develop tolerance. That's for today's Bhagavad Gita segment, the divine song sung by Lord Krishna. Let's end today's session by chanting closing shlokas. Ekam sastram devaki putra gitam, eko deva devaki putra eva, eko mantra tasya namani yani, karmapyekam tasya devasya seva. Kayena vacha manasa indriyairva buddhyatmanava prakrute svabhavat karomi yadyat sakalam parasmai narayanayeti samarpayami sriman narayanayeti samarpayami sarvam shri krishna arpanamastu om asmat gurubhyo namaha. Welcome back to Voice of Sanatan Hinduism authentic radio show on Sanatan Dharma or Hinduism. I'm your host Geeta Rawla. We will be with you on 11:10 every Sunday from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. along with my beloved Sri the Fortune and my dearest Sakhi Taraji. And now moving on to this beautiful song, which is Kanha Kanha. I really love this song. This sums up all the devotion you have for Lord Krishna.
Bye.
listening to Voice of Sanatan Hinduism, authentic show on Sanatan Dharma. I'm your host, Geeta, the divine song, Ravula. And Shriji, coming up next is Fun Time with Q Time with Shriji, the fortune Ravula. You can win an instant gift card for your correct answer. Studio number to call is 281-277-6874. So, Namaste, Shriji. What's up for today?
Namaste, Geeta ji. And I just will take a few seconds to, recognize our sponsor. Voice of Sanatan Hinduism, sponsored by Sanatan Hindu Center, co-sponsored by Sri Meenakshi Temple, Hindus of Greater Houston, Sri Sitaram Foundation, and all our dedicated donors. For sponsoring, call 832-361-0625. 832-361-0625. Or you can always email us at hinduismradio@gmail.com. And coming up your way now is Dhruv Tara quiz time. We try to keep it simple. The first question. So let's shoot it for you. What is the significance of number 4 in Hinduism? You can tell us wherever number 4, you think appeared in Hinduism. It can be anything. Relationships, temples, travel. It can be anything. But they should be 4 together. So, the question once again is, what is the significance of number 4 in Hinduism?
Number to call is 281-277-6874. And can I give 4 bhaktas also? Because bhaktas are always dear to me. Meerabai, Godaji,
Bhaktas
Naraji,
are like 4 million, Geeta.
Prahladji,
that is
Sudama.
Like way, way above my number.
And talking about
they
Sudama.
They should be precisely 4.
4? Oh, okay.
And yesterday,
got
if you
it.
Follow the Tara the Star Narsimhan,
on Facebook,
you will get one of them.
You'll get a hint.
Hint.
And talking about bhaktas, here is the beautiful Sudama and Krishna's song. So can you repeat the question again, Sridharji?
Let me put it the other way. When I say number 4, what does it is the significance for you in Hinduism? The way we ask is, what is the significance of number 4 in Hinduism? Wherever exactly number 4, char, appeared. 4, char. 281-277-6874.
Or you're taking a call right now? We have the person ready.
Yeah.
Yes, you're on air. Namaste.
Namaskar.
Yes, you have answer for us?
Four dham.
And?
Yeah.
That's all?
What is the exact four dham? What is the exact four dham is called? You got one of them right. Do you know any others?
Yeah, those are. There's a lot of four dhams we need in our Hindu culture. There's a lot of other
stuff. And your name?
I don't want any prize.
You don't want any prize? Okay.
No.
Thanks for calling. You're listening to Voice of Sanatan Hinduism. Keep listening to us. Stay tuned. Till 2 p.m.
So one down, Char Dham. That's what we're hinting at when we said yesterday Tara the Star Narsimhan was in Woodlands. So for the brick puja of the temple over there. And question number two in Dhrutara quiz time, the tough one. It goes like this. They are believed to be 64. 12 of them are very auspicious. They are believed to be 64. 12 of them are very auspicious. What are the 12 endless pillar of lights? 281-277-6874. Anybody in the studio to take
that's
that?
That's really tough, but I can say, is it Shaktipitas?
They were 18, Geetaji.
Oh, this is 12. Lingas, Jyotirlingas.
Yes, you are
okay.
Right.
Oh, okay. Thank you. So, do I get the e-gift card?
Yes.
Sridharji, please.
Yes, you can
okay.
take the tough questions.
Okay. Okay, coming up next is basics on Hinduism for our young listeners. We will share some basic facts about who is God according to Hinduism. So, stay tuned. Don't change your channel. And we also will talk about significance of Sati Ladi Ekadasi. And the question again,
Yes, one down. We have Chardam as one of the answers, but there are few more. Very, very important one is also Char. What is the significance of number four in Hinduism? Call 281-277-6874 and win an e-gift card.
So they can say four brothers or four something related
sisters,
to knowledge.
They
four
can
sisters.
Call...
Okay.
You know, I
so
studied four. This four, you know, there's so many fours.
Four favorite gods?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
There are million gods
okay.
in Hinduism. We are not taking on gods.
I love this song, Sudama and Krishna's Milan. Number to call is 281-277-6874. We'll be ending our quiz Q time with Sri the Fortune Rawala very shortly. So again, call into the studio and give us four significance of four in Hinduism. You can give four brothers, four sisters in Hindu mythology, history, itihas, or four temples. Or four temples we got, right? Four dhams we got.
Four dhams we got. The abodes.
Yeah.
How about the four brothers, Rama, Lakshmana, Shatrughna, and
there you go, Taraji. You got it.
And one thing that I can think of, the foursome.
Anybody in the studio? It's open for studio now.
Okay. Can I say four sisters?
Oh, yeah. Four sisters.
Sita ji, Urmila ji, Mandavi ji,
and Shudakirti ji. My favorite.
All these are married to four brothers.
Right.
And can I tell you something also?
Four guys, this is the important thing.
Anybody?
Four.
I tell you, the
four Vedas.
Stages, yeah, Vedas. I thought he covered in the first question he answered.
Taraji, that's right, four stages.
Four stages in the man's life.
That is true.
And four Purusharthas.
What are they called? Four stages. Four ashrams?
Four ashrams.
Yes, they.
Four ashrams that we go through.
Yes.
And, you know, Balyavastha, Yavanavastha, and then, you know, Vruddhavastha, and... yes, what is that?
In the Sahasranam, it says Chaturveda.
Yeah, Vedas. We got that. Kantiji.
Rig Veda, Sama Veda, Ajur Veda, and Atharva Veda.
Sridharji, you're getting good at it.
Yes,
oh my
I'm
God.
Learning. I'm
okay.
the learner in the studio.
And also four Purusharthas. Dharmartha Kama
Moksham. Now it's getting too complicated
it's
for
It's on
me.
The spot. Dharmartha Kama Moksham. And no, this is an important factor. Dharmartha Kama Moksha is very important to you know, Hindu people. And we'll talk about in one
and
of the topics.
You have
yes.
Char main dishas.
Yes, northwest, east, south. So Sridharji said that English. So I said yes. Yeah, I was telling him yesterday. Char dishas means
uttar
dakshin,
pura paschim.
Pura paschim.
That's part of the song.
And
okay.
We talk of quick time here to say about the four Chardham yesterday.
Yes.
It was one of the most beautiful things I saw in nearby Houston. Bhagwan has manifested in many, many different temples and forms. Chardham celebrates Badrinath, Jagannath, Ramnath, and Dwarkanath.
Ramesh.
all the four corners of Bharat has really been represented. Everybody should get the opportunity to go visit it once it is done. Deadline of building it should be in October.
Anybody in the studio went there?
Yes.
All four dhams, real dhams.
I went.
I too.
I went, but according to actually Ramanujacharya, one dham is different. That is Srirangam. We need to visit Srirangam.
Yes.
So that is Shankaracharya says Rameshwaram. Rameshwaram is replaced
and
by.
And also after visiting all these four dhams, there is a place in Jagannath.
Yes, yes, yes. Cool.
Now.
And you didn't visit that Sridharji.
Yes, I didn't.
You didn't. That is a Lingam temple where you have to visit. They say that when you do the yatra, the end of the yatra of these char dhams, you have to go visit that temple. Then it will fruitify.
Yes.
So that's the... That is actually 200 years older temple than the Jagannath temple itself. And I also touched Jagannath last year. Okay, here is one very beautiful song, Sham Teri Bansi Pukare. Oh,
very good, nice.
Segment is brought to you by Sri Sitaram Foundation of Houston, who celebrate Dashera Festival in Skeeter Stadium in the month of October with thousands and thousands of people together. Welcome back to Voice of Sanatan Hinduism. I'm your host, Geeta Rawala. Hope you're enjoying our songs as much as we are enjoying. We love to be here sharing with you all these wonderful, wonderful things about our dharma. And Sridharji has some interesting basics of Hinduism today. Can you share that with us, Sridharji?
Yes. Before that, I want to again recognize our sponsors. The New Voice of Sanatan Hinduism on 11:10 a.m. Sponsored by Sanatan Hindu Center. Co-sponsored by Sri Meenakshi Temple, Hindus of Greater Houston, Sri Sitaram Foundation, and all our beautiful dedicated donors. For sponsoring, call 832-361-0625. The number 832-361-0625. Or always email us at hinduismradio@gmail.com. Okay, now moving on to Hinduism basics or Hinduism in U.S. And today we're going to talk about two very important Hinduism basic concept. We need to know these things. If you are a Hindu, you need to. If you have just come of age and learning about Hinduism through your family or like, you know, friends, you need to know this concept. So in Hinduism, today we'll explore what we need to know, basic concepts of Hinduism. Sanatan Dharma is just way of life. It's not a religion.
That's true.
Okay. Or an eternal way or law beyond human origins. Now I have become more technical. Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll leave it at that. Okay. Sanatan Dharma or Hinduism has a variety of beliefs and practices with a certain underlying unity. There's in all this part, there's a certain unity too. Okay. Hinduism does not have a single founder. And its present form, today's modern Hinduism, or Hinduism as such, what we believe today, emerged over vast thousands of years. Okay. And what are the two basic Hinduism concepts we'll try to explore today?
I'm really eager to.
Brahman and Bhagwan.
Wow.
Okay. They're sometimes used synonymous, but they are not synonymous. I'll try to break it. Okay. Who is Brahman according to Hinduism? Brahman is the source of all. The one truth, the underlying reality of the world. Everything emerges from and returns to it. According to Taittiriya Upanishad, Brahman is the creator of all and permeates creation. What that means is, Brahman is from which beings are born, that in which when born they live, and that into which they enter after life. Got it?
Yeah, I got it. Like if when my body goes through it, I'm going to directly Brahman.
No, you actually are not separate from Brahman.
Separate from Brahman. Oh, wow.
Okay. And who is Bhagwan? Okay. In Hinduism, God is known as Bhagwan. Brahman is not God. Okay. Bhagwan is God. Okay. Or Ishwara. Sometimes we also have Vishnu, Lord Shiva, Shaktima, Lord Rama, Lord Krishna, or by any other name. God is revered and worshipped in one form or the other. They are many, many, many gods. Okay? Brahman is not God, but all gods emanate from Brahman. Brahman contains infinite possibilities. Hence, the number and variety of gods is also infinite. But this is the very interesting part. In the choice and worship of a deity, Hinduism has great flexibility.
Yes.
Okay. Worshipping a god is a personal choice. And there is a special term for it. Take a guess. Ishta Devata.
Oh, the Ishta Devata.
One's own personal deity.
Deity, yes.
Okay. That's for you, listeners. Brahman and Bhagwan. Yeah. Next week, we'll explore reincarnation, karma, and moksha, the other concepts.
One thing about Bhagwan is where you mentioned the Vishnuji, Shivji, and Shakti, those are actually not human forms, okay? But Krishna and Ram are human forms. They incarnated. So there's that subtle difference. But when you go explore in Puranas, when you go to Vishnu Purana, the Brahman actually equals to Mahavishnu there. And when you go Shiv Purana, Maheshwara is the Brahman becomes. When you go, you know, study Shakti again, the Shakti also becomes the yeah. Brahman there.
I think, yeah.
So that's how, I mean, the Puranas mentioned that. So I just wanted to associate that Purana.
There is a synonymous usage of the deity name
so
as
these
Brahman.
Three, these three specific.
But, you know, the whole intent is to separate both those concepts, the Brahman and Bhagwan.
Bhagwan.
Okay.
So Bhagwan, yeah, we call Krishna, Rama, Vishnu, all this Bhagwan. But these three, you know, Shakti, Mahavishnu and Maheshwara, these three are also, according to certain Puranas and certain scriptures, are equivalent to Brahman. So when you look into Mahavishnu, Narayana, Sriman Narayana, so it is described there that Sriman Narayana is the Brahman where everything emerges from and goes into.
Yeah,
similarly,
depending on which
Shivji
school
also
of thought, like you know, Vaishnavism, Shaivism and Shaktism, okay? All three schools have their own Brahman.
Each Puran is dedicated to certain
energy, certain
name that we give. For example, Vishnu Puran is dedicated to the Vishnu, and the Shiv Puran is to the Shivji.
Yeah.
So if you look at that Puran, everything is described and give the action and stories regarding that particular personality.
But that's a beautiful presentation on Brahman and Bhagwan, Sriji. Yes, Brahman is the...
And I will slightly take to tell listeners about Hinduism US facts. Which city has the most Hindu population? Take a guess in the studio.
Well, I know the answer because you told me.
Okay, anybody wants to take a guess? Or where Houston stands in Hindu population?
East or west?
It's West Coast. Predominantly, Hindus are settled in the West Coast or East Coast, per my research.
Guesses. Divina, you want to guess?
If you're thinking about something with C, yeah, you are right. California, San Jose has 2.5% population of Hindus, which is way above the national U.S. average of 0.7%.
Oh, you're talking about percentage?
Yes, percentage.
Okay.
Yes. Percentage.
Okay, and where does Houston H-Town stands in Hindu population? Number 19th on the list. What that 19. Means? For every 100,000 people or peeps, you have 300 Hindus.
Oh, that's interesting fact. And the segment is sponsored by Sri Sitaram Foundation that celebrates Dashara Festival at Skeeter Stadium on October in the month of October. And this is a song for them. They love to chant Ram, 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 Ram. Wherever there is Ram in Houston, there is Sita Ram Foundation. Rama, Rama, chanting the name of Ramji will wash away all our sins. You can see Ratnakar becoming Valmiki. So we are not as bad as Ratnakar. So we can become better than that if you keep chanting the name of Ram. Sridharji, any last?
We are coming to the end of the first 60 minutes.
I know, it's all gone.
It's gone so fast. And in the second 60 minutes, Tara the Star Narsimhan will engage and energize all Hindus in deep treasures of Sanatan Dharma. You can also get updated on what's going on at Sri Meenakshi Temple. And Houston happenings by brought to you by Hindus of Greater Houston around 1:20 p.m. And get intrigued and interact with us in Inquest of Hinduism at 1:35 p.m. And today we are celebrating the 67th Republic Day of Bharat in Houston at Stafford Center. So that is the topic, Republic Day of Bharat. And lots of music.
And you're listening to Voice of Sanatan Hinduism, an authentic show on Sanatan Dharma. And I'm your host, Geeta. And here with me is Sri Antara Ji. And we will talk shortly about Ekadasi Vrat, which is, you can fast on Ekadasi, Satiladi Ekadasi. It's also known as Satiladi Ekadasi, Tilda Ekadasi. And usually it falls in Magh Mas, January, February time. This year it's falling on Feb 4th. The name Satiladi has been derived from Til, which means sesame seeds, which are donated to poor and hungry. And this Ekadasi is actually very significant if you want to do charities, donations. It's very auspicious. And you can offer sesame seeds and food to poor and hungry too. What is the story behind Satiladi Ekadasi? There's a beautiful story. A religious and devoted rich woman performed all the Ekadasi Vrats unfailingly, but she also fed the poor and Brahmins heavily with clothes, jewelry and various items. But one day Lord Krishna appeared in disguise as a poor person wearing torn clothes begging for food on Satiladi Ekadasi. So but this rich woman agreed to give the food only when he mentioned his gotra, but he continued to beg for food without telling his gotram. So angrily the rich woman placed a rolled ball of clay in his pot. He blessed her and left. Our Lord is always merciful. He always blesses even the mean people, and he also teaches the lesson too. So what is the lesson he taught? To the woman's surprise, when she went inside her home to have food, all the food items that she cooked turned into clay. Even the fruits, rice, everything turned into the clay. So she didn't have anything to eat and she grew weaker and weaker. So with all the wealth in her hands, she couldn't feed herself. So she realized her mistake and started praying to Lord Krishna for repentance. And Lord appeared in her dream and he asked her to do annadhanam, feeding the hungry, which she has been ignoring. So he also informed by performing Satiladi Ekadasi, she would be relieved from all her miseries. So while performing this ritual, she also donated sesame seeds and food to all poor and hungry. And she also had her doors open for all those hungry people who are passing by. So this Ekadasi is a very, very good for Annadhanam and any kind of charity for poor. Not only this Ekadasi, Annadhanam or feeding poor and hungry is good, very, very good always. And our Lord loves it. So some people usually feed food only in temples or at service centers because, I mean, I can understand it's a centers, but some of us feed with an idea that it is good karma. But I would say that without expecting any good back, we all should help each other with compassion and donate food or clothing or any kind of donations to needy. So that is the lesson our Lord Krishna has taught us. And this segment is sponsored by Sri Sitaram Foundation, which celebrates Dashera Festival in Skeeter Stadium, Constellation Field, every October, where thousands and thousands of people join and they have a wonderful, wonderful program. Voice of Sanatan Hinduism host offers healing prayers to people who need help or seek relief from any pain that they are suffering from. You can call into the studio and give your name. We can keep it anonymous if you want, or we can announce also. We offer prayers to well-being of all. Om Sarvesham Swastir Bhavatu. Sarvesham Santir Bhavatu. Sarvesham Purnam Bhavatu. sarvesham mangalam bhavatu, sarve bhavantu sukhinah, sarve santu niramayah, sarve badrani pashyantu, ma kaschit dukkha bhag bhavet. May there be well-being in all, peace in all, fulfillment in all, auspiciousness in all. May all be happy, may all be free from illness, may all see what is auspicious, may no one suffer. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Let there be peace always. And coming up next is Tara Ji with Meenakshi Temple segment.
Shankar Suvan Bhavani Nandan Gaye Ganpati Jagvandan Gaye Ganpati Jagvandan Shankar Suvan Bhavani Nandan Gaye Ganpati Jagvandan.
Happy to bring you this segment sponsored by Sri Meenakshi Temple in Pearland, Texas. We are excited about this radio show that represents the root of all religions, mother of all religions, and the most ancient of religions, that is Sanatana Dharma, often referred to by its practitioners as Hinduism. Hinduism is sought to recognize principles and practices that would lead any individual to become a better human being and understand and live in harmony with Dharma. My name is Tara Narsimhan, and I present this program on behalf of Sri Meenakshi Temple. The glory of the Vedic Dharma adds value to any ordinary human being. This radio show, Sanatana Dharma, celebrates the past, addresses the present, and blesses the future. It is the eternal universal law on principle that governs everyone irrespective of culture, race, religion, belief, or practices. We now bring you this Meenakshi Temple segment, and today, as we speak, they are celebrating the Thai Poosam Festival. What exactly is the Thai Poosam? It is the beauty and description of Lord Subramanya, who can never be summed up in a few words, which is an abode of beauty, divinity, happiness, courage, power, valor, love, simplicity, and intelligence. Thai Poosam is celebrated by millions of people across the globe, and in all the Murugan temples worldwide. And it falls in this Tamil month of Thai, or January, February, with a story of the notorious Tarakasuran created havoc and discomfort to many rishis. He tortured as well as was a hindrance to the routine puja or homams. Lord Murugan was called by Lord Shiva and Parvati, passed on the order of destroying the Asuran, and set off with the blessings of his parents. He carried with him the 12 weapons, 11 of which were given by his father and Lord Shiva, and the veil that was given to Parvati. Lord Muruga killed Tarakasura on Poosam Nakshatram, which falls in the Tamil month of Thai, and today it is celebrated at Sri Meenakshi Temple from morning in a very grand scale. A lot of people assemble at the Meenakshi Temple. Ganesh Temple at the Meenakshi Temple site. And from there, they walk with the small little vessels of milk. And they also carry one on their shoulders to balance two pots on either side. And it is called a kavadi. And as they go, they chant the name of Lord Vel Vel Muruga, Vetri Vel Muruga, Subramanyam, Subramanyam, Shanmuganada, Subramanyam. All these are being chanted from children who are about 5 years old, and with the help of their mothers and fathers, they walk through that around the pradakshina of the temple, and from 5 years old to 55, 70, 80 year old, till our age exactly. So,
in South, but a lot of listeners. From